AirVenture attendance was up 12% this year. Clear air turbulence injures 26 Continental passengers. And the FAA wants better tools for deciding when to use anti-icing equipment. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, August 5th, 2009. Congratulations are in order, both to the Experimental Aircraft Association and the aviation world in general. EAA reports official attendance was up 12% from last year at AirVenture, providing firm evidence that either the recession is easing, we're all just sick and tired of sitting home waiting for it to end, or the combination of the A380 and White Knight 2 was more compelling than anybody imagined. In any event, congratulations to the guys in Oshkosh. The National Transportation Safety Board is trying to determine the severity of a patch of clear air turbulence that threw passengers from their seats on Continental Flight 128 Monday morning over the Caribbean. Reports from some of the 179 passengers say many were asleep aboard the Red Eye from Rio de Janeiro to Houston, and apparently many were not wearing seatbelts when the 767 suddenly dipped twice, throwing flight attendants against the ceiling and flinging passengers against overhead bins with enough force to break the doors. The pilot diverted to Miami, where USA Today reports 14 of the 26 injured occupants were taken to area hospitals. FAA data cited by CBS News reveals an average of 58 people on board airliners are injured every year in turbulence, most because they're not wearing seatbelts. The industry recommends passengers remain belted at all times while seated, even if the fastened seatbelt light is not lit. The FAA Monday changed its certification standards for transport category airplanes to require either the automatic activation of ice protection systems or a method to tell pilots when they should be activated. The new rule requires an effective way to ensure the ice protection system is activated at the proper time. The rule applies to new transport aircraft designs and significant changes to current designs that affect the safety of flight in icing conditions. There is no requirement so far to modify existing planes, but the FAA says that could change. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt commented, quote, "We're adding another level of safety to prevent situations where pilots are either completely unaware of ice accumulation or don't think it's significant enough to warrant turning on their ice protection equipment," unquote. The new rule accepts automatic activation or pilot alerts, a definition of icing conditions that can be used by pilots in deciding when to activate, or identification of temperature and moisture combinations which require pilots to manually activate. You can get more details in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Last week's comments at Oshkosh by new FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt suggesting he'd be open to reviewing the agency's policy against through-the-fence lease agreements at federally funded airports may be getting a close listen in Orcas Island, Washington. The local airport is crucial to the island community, and 26 landowners adjacent to the airport have through-the-fence access that was spelled out in a 1959 deed that gave the city the land. But the FAA is threatening to force the city to repay federal funds received if it does not terminate the access. The Island Sounder reports Orcas Island commissioners believe the FAA wants them to take the easement by eminent domain and grant no new easements. They could also acquire the land by buying it as it becomes available, then reselling it without the easements. Commissioners say if they try to make needed airport improvements without federal dollars, taxes on the entire community will have to be raised. Up next on ANN, the NTSB says scheduling was an issue when two pilots fell asleep at the yoke. An R-44 pilot turned down offers for ground transport before his crash in fog. And a disoriented Lockheed test pilot died when he ejected at about Mach 1. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 5th. I'm Paul Plack. The NTSB has concluded that in the case of two GO Airlines pilots who fell asleep on a flight from Honolulu to Hilo, Hawaii in February of 2008, the captain's obstructive sleep apnea played a role, but so did crew fatigue. After the plane overshot its landing point and continued 26 miles out to sea, The crew finally responded to the calls of controllers and made an uneventful landing. The captain and first officer later admitted to their superiors that they'd fallen asleep, and the FO told investigators they'd started work 3 days in a row at 5:40 a.m. and that he'd fallen as far as 2 hours 45 minutes behind his minimum sleep requirement over the previous 72 hours. Both the captain's undiagnosed sleep disorder and the crew's work schedule were listed as factors in the board's final causal report. NTSB has issued a preliminary report in the case of a Robinson R-44 that was used for sightseeing flights on July 23rd over the Maryland Panhandle, but hit a guy wire and crashed while bringing the passengers back to Frederick Municipal Airport. The board notes the R-44 was equipped for VFR only, and based on reports to investigators, the pilot turned down at least two offers to have a car sent to pick up the passengers and instead set out to fly back to the airport despite reports of fog and thunderstorms in the area. Witnesses on the ground said he ran into an unmarked steel guy wire on a high-voltage power line tower, and the machine burst into flames on impact with the ground. Weather conditions at the airport, about 15 miles from the crash site, were recorded with visibilities as low as 1.5 miles, a 1-degree dew point spread, and thunderstorms and heavy intensity rain around the time of the crash. Drivers on the ground at the crash site reported heavy fog. U.S. Air Force investigators have reached a determination in the case of a Lockheed Martin test pilot who died in the crash of an F-22 Raptor during testing March 25th at Edwards Air Force Base in California. Aerospace Daily and Defense Report cites official sources in reporting that pilot David Cooley got into trouble on the last of three high-speed, high-G test runs intended to evaluate how opening the side weapons bay affects aircraft performance. The tests involved rolling inverted at Mach 1.6 at 25,000 feet, performing half of a split S maneuver, then rolling upright and pulling out of the dive. Investigators say Cooley had inadequate training in the anti-G straining used by pilots to maintain blood flow to the brain during high Gs, became disoriented after nearly losing consciousness, then ejected at 765 knots equivalent airspeed, causing his death from wind blast. The report says the escape system functioned as designed, but the ejection speed was beyond anything seen even in sled testing. The ACES 2 seat is designed for a maximum of 600 knots ejection speed, but there's an 80% chance of major or fatal injury above 550 knots. The U.S. Chief of Naval Operations had high praise last week for the Navy's first Joint Strike Fighter, the F-35C Lightning II. In a ceremony officially welcoming the type to the fleet, Admiral Gary Ruffhead commented, quote, "Our sailors will never be in a fair fight because this airplane will top anything that comes its way. It will give our sailors and pilots the tactical and technical advantage in the skies, and it will relieve our aircraft as they age out," unquote. The F-35C is on schedule to meet the Navy's initial operational capability in 2015 and combines stealth with supersonic speed and high agility. The Lightning II employs the most powerful and comprehensive sensor package ever incorporated into a fighter. Still ahead, Hawker Beechcraft is a repeat winner in the Robb Report's Best of the Best. Oshkosh Corporation is hiring hundreds of workers. And a daring helicopter prison break is not a first. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, August 5th. I'm Paul Plack. Robb Report Magazine has awarded Hawker Beechcraft Corporation its Best of the Best Award for the Hawker 900 XP. Robb Report CEO William Curtis explains, quote, "The Hawker 900 XP is gaining attention from businesses ready to right-size from bigger jets. We congratulate Hawker Beechcraft for taking top honors for a second year for its Hawker aircraft," unquote. HBC notes that if you're using a Dassault Falcon 900EX or Gulfstream 550 to fly four passengers from New York to Los Angeles, a 900 XP will perform the same mission using 35% less fuel. Further, the Robb Report notes the smaller jet will save 50% on insurance, up to 30% in crew salaries, and as much as $80,000 a year in hangar space. HBC received the 2008 Robb Report Best of the Best Award in the recently delivered aircraft category for its super midsize Hawker 4000. While much of aviation continues stuck in economic doldrums, Oshkosh is hiring. In fact, it's taken on more than 350 new employees recently in the Fox Valley area of Wisconsin, according to the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel. Now, if you're a little confused, we're not talking about the town or the airport or EAA Air Venture. We're talking about Oshkosh Corporation, which manufactures heavy trucks for industrial and military applications. If you notice the sea of sand-colored trucks parked across Whitman Regional Airport from the AirVenture grounds, that Oshkosh. The Journal Sentinel reports the company has received billions in orders from the Department of Defense, which finds the company's mine-resistant, ambush-protected all-terrain vehicles, or MATVs for short, just the thing for the Afghanistan theater. Oshkosh is recruiting aggressively for more workers as it works to expand its output to 1,000 vehicles per month in December. I don't know how good a job it is, but if nothing else, you could watch the AirVenture air shows out your office window. And finally today, CNN Europe reports two inmates escaped from the Korydallis prison, located in a suburb of Athens, Greece, by scaling rope ladders lowered from a helicopter that was hijacked earlier from Athens airport. Officials later found the pilot tied up near the aircraft north of Athens. The escapees are 42-year-old Nikos Paliokostas and 34-year-old Alkit Riza. They both remain at large, as do accomplices who staged the hijacking. Justice Minister Nikos Dendias told CNN, quote, "I will not tolerate this embarrassment and all necessary measures will be taken, no matter how stringent they may be," unquote. So, just how embarrassing is it? This is the second time Paliokostas has escaped from the prison using a helicopter. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with Stratus Aircraft CEO Michael Lemaire about his company's development of the Stratus 714 Very Light Personal Jet, which promises 4 seats, 400 knots, and 1,500 nautical miles. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.